Well, as I said this morning, you made it in. For those of you who have wondered why we've been pushing you through different entrances and out different exits, our motorized roller on our shutter decided to kind of give up the ghost, as it were, this week. And I was just thinking, it's funny how one thing like that can happen and throws everyone out. And people are, I've got to go through a different exit, or I've got to go through a different entrance. And because you come kind of expecting the building to be open. And there's a number of things, of course, when we come to church every week that when we come in, how many people are glad that the building's always clean? Praise God. Are you glad to have a chair to sit on tonight? There's a chair to sit on. There's a clean building. There's a welcome team who are at the door. There's a band who have sound checks. And there's tea and coffee, you know. There's all these things that happen. There's the provision of various ministry for age groups, the Word of God, etc., etc. And I was thinking, I want you to imagine one week you turn up and there is none of the above. Okay, you turn up to an unclean building without a chair to sit on, no one to welcome you at the door. The band just rock up and they've not even thought about any songs or sound checks for the day. There's no tea or coffee, heaven forbid. There's no preparation gone into the Word, you know, Paul or me or Wendy or someone just rock up here and just say anything. And what would you think, okay, if that was what church was like when you come? I think probably one of two things. Either we've not grasped the importance of a church, of creating an inviting or welcoming atmosphere or environment, if you like, because preparation that goes in all of those areas really is preparation is an invitation. Would you say that to the person next to you tonight for me? Preparation is an invitation. So in doing those things, we're creating something. We want to be welcoming. We want to be inviting. If you came in and none of those things were done, you wouldn't feel very kind of wanted or welcome. But in doing those things every week, as chairs go down and things happen, we are saying, come. Okay? We want you to feel welcome. We want you to feel motivated. And the fact that you're coming, of course, motivates us to do all those things. So that's the first thing, of course. Preparation is an invitation. But secondly, if we didn't do any of those things, it would be simply perhaps for this reason, because we didn't believe anyone was going to show up. Right? There's no point putting chairs down if you don't think there's going to be no bottoms to sit on them. Okay? And so this is the second thing I want you to say. What was the first thing? That preparation is an invitation. But the second thing is this. Preparation is done in expectation. Okay? Okay, so preparation is an invitation, but preparation is done in expectation. If we didn't do it, it's because we weren't expecting anyone. But we prepare every week because we believe you will come. Martin never comes and knocks on my door and says, "Shall I bother with chairs this week?" Well, actually, he has before, I tell a lie. Because Martin would quite happily do away with all the chairs and we just all kind of, you know, he likes it like that. But we do it every week because we believe you will come and that motivates us. So I want you to remember those two points tonight, okay? I'm sure that hopefully they're getting in, because I want us to think about our praise as an act of preparation, okay? And preparation is an invitation which we do in expectation, okay? So we're going to go to Acts chapter 16. Okay, tonight, and we'll just read from Acts chapter 16 there in verse 22 through to 34. Okay, it says the crowd, just the background, let me just back up a little bit. Paul and Silas, okay, they're in jail despite having done nothing wrong other than setting a girl free, a very troubled young girl who'd been set free, but some people had took real exception to this. They were using her to tell fortunes and make money out of evil spirits that had afflicted her. And so they set her free, and when they were set free, they really, frankly, were very upset about it and seized them. They dragged them into the marketplace in the city there, and the rulers and the people of the town gather around, and all these accusations begin to get thrown at them, despite them having done nothing wrong, in fact, having done good. And it says, the crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore the garments off them and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bonds were unfastened. Wow, God blew the doors off the hinges. When the jailer woke and saw the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." How many people know that must have taken the jailer by surprise? The doors have been blown off the hinges, and yet no one's run off. And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds. And he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Then he brought them into his house, set food before them, and he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. There was a moment when God entered the jail. Verse 26 talks about a suddenly moment. And suddenly everything changed. But what I want us to not miss tonight is the fact that the suddenly moment was clearly triggered. It didn't just kind of come out of nowhere. Something triggered this suddenly moment. In verse 25, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And it goes on in verse 26, and suddenly God came. Now, a lot of versions there say singing hymns. But if you actually kind of go back, the King James Version actually says this. It says, they sang praises unto God. Okay, and that's more accurate, arguably, because the Greek word there to sing praises, it means this. It means to celebrate God in song. So they weren't singing a song of lament at midnight. They were celebrating God in song. So here they are, Paul and Silas, stripped, beaten, thrown into jail. Their feet are placed in stocks. But at verse 25, about midnight, Paul and Silas, you could put it in here, were celebrating God in song. And suddenly, God came. So the power of our praise, I believe, tonight is this. When I praise God, I'm preparing an invitation in expectation. When you begin to praise Him, you're preparing a place, you're inviting Him to come into that situation. And your praise, Miles Monroe says this, he says, your praise sets the stage for God's arrival. It's a key, praise is a key to releasing these suddenly moments. I believe the more that we learn to understand the power of our praise, the more we praise God like we really can, I believe the more our expectation for the presence of God to come among us will increase. Okay, our expectations will increase because I believe that as I read this, it teaches me that praise can trigger transformation. And how many people know it's the presence of God that transforms any situation, amen? Their praise changed everything. And so at midnight, Paul and Silas suddenly look at each other and say, hey, let's begin to celebrate God in song. Now, I don't know if they were expecting doors to blow off their hinges and chains to fall off. I'm not sure they would. What I do know this, they were madly in love with God, okay? They're madly in love with Jesus. They were determined they were going to praise Him in that cell. What I do believe they were saying to each other is this, let's bring the presence of God into this situation. Let's bring God right into this situation that we're finding ourselves in right here. Let's bring Him right into this jail. Let's get into His presence. You know that praise is one of your accesses or one of your keys to the presence of God. Psalm 100 says this, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Andy, there is a PowerPoint there, mate. I should have given you the heads up that it's all there. Sorry. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name, for the Lord is good. Can you say amen to that tonight? Amen. For the Lord is good. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. Come into His presence with singing. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. You could go on and do a whole study about the tabernacle, but we'll be here for a long time. And so I'm focusing tonight on Acts chapter 16. And I want to give you three simple points just to take away tonight, okay? The first one is this. Praise causes chain reactions. Praise causes chain reactions. One of the best bits of advice that I was ever given, okay, whenever I read the Bible, I was just saying this to a friend the other day. We were talking about the Word of God. Someone once said to me this. When you read this, imagine yourself there in that moment. Try and get inside the story. What's it look like? What's it feel like? What's going on? You know, don't just kind of plow through however many chapters for the day. Try and just kind of, right, what's going on here, God? Really try and get inside the story. Because I think that, if I'm being really honest, it's easy to read stories like this and go, okay, they were stripped, they were beaten, they were in the inner prison. You know, it'd just be horrible to be in there, and you go like this, and about midnight they were praising God. You go, absolutely, that's exactly what you should do. That's exactly what you should do. They've done totally the right thing. If you're in that situation, you should praise God. And I go, yeah, that's exactly what I'd have felt like doing. What would I have actually felt like if I'd have been in that situation? If I'd been stripped and beaten and thrown in jail and changed? I think the conversation would have gone more like this if I was Paul and you were Silas. Silas, what the heck is going on? How unfair is this? Look at the state of this place. We're in this stinking, horrible situation. We've done nothing wrong. We don't deserve it. We're in here. I don't know what's going on. God, where are you? God, why is this happening? God, what's happening in my life? I don't get it. Anyone else might have just been tempted to have gone somewhat more down that route. Or you've gone, no, I'd have said, hallelujah, it's midnight. Let's praise God. You know, we find ourselves in all kind of prisons, if you like, at times in our life. There can be prisons. Certain circumstances can feel like we're imprisoned by certain circumstances, sicknesses, situations, circumstances. Anyone here ever faced a problem in their life that they felt like it's threatened to defeat them or get the better of them? The odds have felt overwhelming. You know, from experience, because I've known what it is to drift down the moan and complain road. The only reaction that I've ever felt that cause in my life is a negative reaction. But I want us to understand tonight, praise can cause a chain reaction. Because as they begin to praise God, chains begin to break. You know, you cannot complain your way out of your chains, but you can sure praise your way out of them. And they teach me, Paul and Silas, and again, I know this is easy to say, but they do teach me this. You don't have to feel great to praise God. You don't have to feel great to praise God. I cannot believe that having gone through all of that, they were saying to each other how wonderfully inspiring these circumstances are. So it cannot have been that at midnight they decided to praise God because they were in such pleasant circumstances, inspiring or encouraging circumstances to begin to praise God. You know, it stank. It was horrible. Their feet are bleeding. You know, there's probably rats running around. They're in extreme pain, but they teach me that praise is a choice. And really, I think that whether I praise or not depends on what I focus upon. They're in this horrible place, and yes, their wounds hurt, and it's not like they have to deny that and pretend, well, what praise is we deny what's going on. No, it's not that they deny their hurting. Praise is saying, yes, this is happening, but I choose to celebrate God. I choose to focus on him. And so what they do is, rather than focus on all that's wrong, I believe they begin to find all the reasons they have to praise God. I believe that as they're there at midnight, they don't focus on all the reasons they have to complain, but I believe that they begin to think about God's goodness in their life. We can focus on this, or we can focus on the goodness of God in our life. And I believe that as they begin to focus on all the reasons they have to praise God, rather than to moan or complain in this circumstance, it begins to inspire this song of celebration. Powerful things happen, friends, when we choose to praise God. When we choose to focus on his goodness in our life, and this chain reaction happens. The place shakes, the doors fly open, and the bonds break off. I love this quote that I read by Stephen Furtick. He said this: "Will your chains break your praise, or will your praise break your chains? Will your chains break your praise, or will your praise break your chains?" So they did the one thing that they could do to get God's presence into the cell and get them into his presence. They had a praise session. How are you in the mornings? Are you bright-eyed and bushy-tailed? So I guess some of you probably are. Some of you are probably half dead. But when I get up in the morning, it depends kind of, my mornings could depend on, of course, how much has kind of been going on, how busy things have been. But I tend to have my time with God early in the morning. And I got up as normal this week. And you know those mornings when you just get up and you just feel like, even before you go out of bed, I am tired. You know, and you go downstairs, but it's like, no, I want my time with God. Usually when I am tired, and I get my iPad and I get ready to put my praise and my worship on, when I am tired, there is an instant thought that goes through my head, which is this: do I sit or do I stand? Do I sit or do I stand? Anyone else ever have that little argument in their head? And what you begin to say is, you think, I think you should sit because you're really tired and you can just have a nice kind of time sitting. Sitting down never ends well for me. Okay, I inevitably wake up some considerable time later, or I come in and out of consciousness and speak a load of gobbledygook to God and I ain't got a clue what I have prayed and what I haven't. And I go in and out of it like that. I chose this week on a couple of the mornings to fall asleep. I failed one morning, and yet the second morning I thought, so I'll be all right today, having failed the morning before. And I woke up, I feel rubbish, I feel sorry, because I'm like, oh my Lord, I've missed it, I've messed up, now I've got to get into my day, and I've fallen asleep, and I'm going to need to, I'll need to find some time later, because I can't be without your presence. And you know, one day I woke up this week, having fallen asleep, because it's good to be honest, good to be real, I think. And honestly, it just hit me, and this is may or may not be some great revelation to you, I don't think it is, and I thought to myself, so often in our lives, and it was like God said this to me, we are one decision or one choice away from what he wants to do. We're one decision or one choice away from what, and that I had one decision to make that would have either led me into his presence or kept me from enjoying that time. And I think there are times often in our lives where we're literally, it's just as simple as that. We're one choice away. They were one choice away here from freedom or from staying in chains. Do we go down that road that will lead us away from what God wants to do? Or do we choose to bring the presence of God into this cell that will lead us into what God wants to do? There was one choice to make. And I know that really the easiest and the most tempting thing to do in these circumstances, in our problems, is maybe to complain. But powerful things happen in our midst of our problems when we choose to praise God. Because I'm turning my attention away from myself to him. I want to ask you a really honest question tonight. When we think about praise, do you ever sometimes think, when you think about praise, I need to get beyond praise to get to the important stuff? Like, you know, maybe I need to kind of get beyond kind of just praising because there's deeper places to go. Now, listen, I understand why we do that, and I've kind of thought them thoughts myself before. But as I was just studying the power of praise this week, I just sort of thought, God, I'm just going to spend more time just praising you in the morning. I've had some great times with Jesus the last couple of days. Because what I've realized is I should never relegate to second place admiring who he is, loving him, and adoring him. Now, I'm not saying I have an hour of frantic kind of like just, you know, but I'm just saying sometimes you think, oh, well, no, I won't have a praise song because I better get somewhere kind of. But friends, there's something about praise that is an invitation and creates this sense of expectation. God's presence shows up when we begin to praise him. And we know that in his presence, okay, Psalm 16:11, in your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Friends, do you want more joy in your life? Do you want more joy when you're going through difficult circumstances? You can't complain your way into joy, but you can praise your way into it. Into his presence where there is fullness of joy. All the answers are found in his presence. Okay, so number one, praise causes chain reactions. Number two, praise proclaims. Praise proclaims. Okay, praise is never hidden or silent. You know, their worship praise time that they had was loud enough, it says, for all the other prisoners to hear it. It didn't say to each other at midnight, let's praise God, and they're like, oh, hallelujah, God is good. You know, they're singing and celebrating to God, and all the other prisoners begin to hear it. You know, many forms in the Bible, you can look at these yourself. I'll give you a few in a moment. Many forms of praise in the Bible, but one common denominator of praise, it is never hidden and never silent or silent. Okay, it's never kept silent. It's seen or it's heard. It's full of emotion and expression. So you know when someone just kind of sits and you soak, and there's a place for sitting and soaking in the presence of God. There's nothing wrong with sitting and soaking. You say, what are you doing? You say, praising God. No, you're having a quiet time with God. But praising God, there is something of an expression that comes about when we begin to do something. We begin to praise God. So let me give you the biblical forms of praise that exist. Shout. Shouting. Okay, shout, clap, make a joyful noise. What are you doing? I'm praising God. No, you're humming. Make a joyful noise. Who's ever heard Paddy give one of his woohoo, you know, in the presence of God? Make a joyful noise, okay, unto God. Sing, pray, thank, stand, kneel, dance, lift your hands, play your musical instruments. Okay, there's other examples as well. Listen, I don't feel that you have to feel like, well, I have to feel like it to do all those things. Listen, you just have to believe that God is good. Do you believe that God is good? Then we're one choice away. Praise isn't showy. I'm not asking it to be showy. In fact, I think that when it gets showy, you can sense when it's getting showy. But it is expressive. It is a reflection of what's on the inside. It is a passion in our heart for God that begins to come out. How many people would agree with me tonight? When you're passionate about something, it will be seen or heard. You want to try watching football with my son. He is up and down and throwing himself all over the place and shouting and cheering and everything like that. And every now and then I have to sort of shove him off me again as he kind of dives around. But he gets really into it. And that's just football, right? That's got nothing on Jesus, has it? We're just talking about football. But there's all these noises and everything that come out. That passion is in the moment, you know? We can see that in certain things. Listen, how much more worthy is Jesus? You know, so we should show that. We should express that. So when I'm in a favela in Brazil, when Paul takes me to Brazil for that first time and I walk into a favela and all the electricity's going off and the lights are going on and off and everything like that, and some guy comes to play worship and I'm no expert guitarist, but I can count and he's only got 4 strings on his guitar, I'm thinking that isn't enough. And he begins to play it and naturally you think that's not the most pleasant noise I've ever heard. But he begins to praise God and the presence of God comes into the favela and you're like, oh my days. Was it the most amazing noise? Not necessarily naturally, no. What was it? It was a reflection of a man's heart who was passionate about Jesus Christ. And it brought in the presence of God into that situation, ushered us into his presence. And that, you know, just stood out to me as I kind of emphasized earlier. why they didn't leg it when they were set free. Because that means this. It means they weren't just, for me, maybe I'm wrong, it means they weren't just praising God to get set free. Otherwise, they'd have been gone. You know, let's just praise God to get out of my problems, job done. They were praising God because they were in love with him. They were in love with him. And Webster's definition of praise, I'll give you three words and my final point. To commend, to approve, and to glorify. Can you remember them tonight? To commend, to approve, and to glorify. So what am I doing? I'm proclaiming. Praise is a proclamation. I'm proclaiming. I commend God. It means I'm telling you, I trust him. I entrust myself to him, and I recommend as I praise God that others do the same. Others heard it as they were praising. They were proclaiming, we believe that God is the answer. Someone once said, praise is bragging about God. I approve God. I'm testifying that God is good and God is faithful. That I have a favorable opinion of him, it means. I'm proclaiming my favorable opinion of God. I'm testifying about how good he is. I'm glorifying God, which means I'm bestowing honor and praise and admiration. I'm telling you why I honor God, what I admire about God. So Psalm 103, you know this well, but you can hear it in here, can't you? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I'm proclaiming who he is. Someone once said, praise is giving God all that is his due and giving him room in our life to do all that he wants to do. So number one, praise causes chain reactions. Number two, can you remember number two? Praise proclaims. My wife laughed. Yeah, it did sound like that, you're right. Number three, I just want to say this to you tonight as I finish, okay? Satan doesn't want you to praise God. Friends, do you know why? Because he knows that praise is an invitation that creates expectation. And that whatever circumstance you're in, as you begin to praise God and you begin to invite him into that situation, he does not want the presence of God to break out in your life. He does not want it to break out in the midst of what you're going through, because he knows more than anyone, when God comes, he takes over. And things change. See, God enters the jail. God enters that circumstance. God comes into their challenging situation. I love this thought. The cell was too small to contain him. As they brought him into their circumstance, the cell was too small to contain him, and so he blows the doors off the hinges. Now, what a thought this is. No matter what circumstance or situation I'm going through, if I choose to bring God into that, that situation or circumstance cannot contain him. He can blow the doors wide off its hinges in what's going on there in your life. Do you believe that tonight? Hallelujah. Okay, so we need to bring him in. He can break the chains. The whole situation changes. Praise triggers this tremendous move of God. People are saved. People are free. Salvation comes. The jailer can't stop it. No other power can't stop it. God takes authority. You know, Satan will do anything he can to stop you from praising God, to dissuade you from praising him, to distract you from praising him, because he wants to keep God's power and authority from showing up in your life. When God turned up in this situation, he took authority. When we bring God in and God takes authority over what's going on, as he doesn't want that. He doesn't want that to happen. He knows that if we bring God in, that situation's going to change. You know, two of the greatest weapons, and can you just come back and band? Can you just come back as well? You know, two of the greatest weapons that you have to overcome the enemy are prayer and praise. Prayer and praise. You know, If you get time, there wasn't time tonight, there's an 11-minute video on YouTube, and I remember the story when it broke about a young boy in Bethel Church called Jackson. If you go on YouTube and just Google Bethel, B-E-T-H-E-L, Jackson, J-A-X-O-N, it's 11 minutes long. It was too long to watch tonight, and it's called The Power of Praise. And this young boy, I'll get his age, but we're only talking like a small toddler kind of age, talking, but that kind of age. And he was taken very, very sick, very suddenly. I remember it going out. I remember them asking people all around the world to pray, because I remember it hit a crucial moment when his life was in the balance. I think it was E. coli, but it just got rampant, and it just ran away, and he was tremendously sick. And you'll see the footage of him, wires and tubes and everything, and his parents talking about what's going on, and people were praying all around the world. And the news comes through to one of the guys in the Bethel team, one of the worship leaders. The news comes through, we don't think Jackson's going to make it through the night. And he said when he got that news, he just began to think like, oh God, this might be one of those situations where we prayed our heart out and we're going to stand at a graveside and we're going to wonder what's going on. And then he says in that moment, this song began to erupt on the inside of him. Okay, and just for a second, I'm just going to tell you a little bit of this song. Sorry, Emma, it's my fault. But he said this thing just came to him, and it just went like this. I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. And he said he just got that. I raise a hallelujah. My God comes to fight for me. Like that, and then it goes on, and he sings like that, and he said it began to erupt, and he sat at the piano, him and his wife, and they wrote this song, and they recorded it, and they sent it to him, and the dad got it. They were totally broken, and he said he just got his phone, and he just held it over his son, and people began to sing this song, and God miraculously came, and he just began to talk, and he was totally healed. Amen. Totally healed. And when you hear him talk about it, they said, what did it come down? The power of praise. Do you know that when you begin to praise God, you confuse the enemy? Because you're saying, I'm not choosing to naturally give in like I should give in and go with what naturally is going on before me, where all the temptation is to do that. You begin to confuse him. I believe the devil was confused when Paul and Silas began to praise. How on earth are you praising God when you're badly beaten and all this is going on and you're in jail? It confuses him, because praising him makes no sense to him. But I just want to encourage you tonight. Thanks, Sam. Just want to encourage you tonight, when the enemy expects you to be defeated and down, like Paul and Silas, be found standing before God, singing. Raise your hallelujah, okay? Because your praise can blow the whole thing wide open. Because praise is an invitation that we do in expectation. And as we begin to praise him, as Miles Monroe says, it sets the stage for God to rise. Hallelujah. Why don't we stand to our feet?